truly appreciate your support in helping us grow our podcast. So if you can leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, it only takes 5 seconds. It makes a world of a difference for us. Your feedback not only encourages us to keep producing great content, but also helps others discover our show. And if you've got a friend, family member, or colleague who you feel likely would benefit from listening to our podcast, please consider sharing it with them. Word of mouth is incredibly powerful, and your recommendation means the world for us. Let's get into it. Welcome to the Busy Fit Podcast, episode 21. If you missed episode 20, Emily, Kaylee, and I had a really great conversation around results and how to manage your expectations as you're going through the process and what's important to look for throughout that process, and kind of contrasting, comparing the different processes as far as if you're really diving into looking at sustainable approaches versus kind of a cookie cutter approach that may be pretty restrictive. Today, I'm really excited to share with you a conversation around habits and relationships and how to really identify whether or not they're a good impact in your life or if they may be having a negative impact. The first and probably one of the most important things to look at is how your habits impact your physical and mental well-being. And it's very easy for us to have habits set up that aren't necessarily serving us from a day-to-day. If you think about even just from the moment we wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that we do? Do we grab our phone and start scrolling and see all this stimulus right away? Or are we really looking into like setting us up to be successful throughout the day by starting off the day right? The habits that we have in place, are they making us reactive or are we proactive to everything that's kind of going on around us? And you know, it's really easy to think, okay, well, I have these stressors and these things pop up throughout the day. I get called into these meetings or I have these, you know, stressful things that pop up in my personal life, and we're constantly reacting to how these things take place. And we think, okay, well, we can't really have any good habits in place because we're so focused on reacting to everything around us versus really taking control of our day and starting to focus on like, okay, these are the things that impact me from the moment I wake up in the morning to the moment I go to bed. And how do I actually like make it so I'm in control of my day? And I think that really starts from the moment that you wake up. And so a thing that we typically have a lot of our clients do that are in that circumstance where they're really reactive to everything that's going on is we'll have them do a time study, right? And these can be kind of a grueling task when you think about it. But if you do it for a short period of time, it's really not that bad. And the long-term benefit of it is great. And so by doing time study, think about us like you can think of if you have an Excel sheet, a Google sheet, just has 15-minute blocks throughout the day. And you just track everything that you do for, really 5 days is ideal, like maybe 3 days during the week and 2 days during the weekend. If you want to do all 7 days, that's totally fine as well. But you can very easily identify up to probably 3 to 4 hours in a single day of things you're doing that not necessarily aren't being productive for you, but they're not necessarily driving you forward. Just recently did this with one of our clients where we noticed, you know, they're like, okay, I have all these meetings popping up and I have all of this stuff. And like working out is one of the things that's really setting me back in my day and not allowing me to be successful. And they're happy with the results that they're making and the progress that they're making, but they're not necessarily feeling like they're, in control of their day. And they're like, well, a workout may be one of the things that I have to cut out. If you think those are the things that need to be cut out of your life, there's a high probability that there are things going on from the moment you wake up to the moment that you go to bed that are not serving you and are putting you further behind and making you become more reactive. And it's very easy to look at like the surface level thing and be like, this is the problem. This is the thing that I have to fix. And that can be working out. It can be time with your friends or time with your family, or even just procrastinating stuff that you have to do at work because your mind's just not in the right space. And it's really important for us to reframe that and think, okay, as we go through this time study, like what are the things that are serving? What are things that are productive? And what are things that I can cut out or delegate, automate, or just eliminate altogether? And that's really important to identify. So if you think about, say you were going to take control of your day, you want to make sure that you're proactive, you're in control of everything that's taking place. And ultimately the way to do that is starting yourself in a routine in the morning, and everyone's routine is very different, But just, it's really important to not start by being reactive, right? So allow your body to wake up slowly, allow your mind to kind of like come to being fully awake. For some people, that takes 5, 10, 15 minutes. They, you know, come down, downstairs, they make a cup of coffee, they make, you know, have some breakfast, and then they're ready to start the day. For others, they may need a little bit longer. And so you'll hear, especially I think if you look on Instagram, like it seems like it's an even bigger thing for people to be really into these like really extravagant morning routines. And the reality is like no morning routine is going to actually help you accomplish this massive goal. But the things that are going to help you accomplish those massive goals is just starting out with the day the way it should be starting out for you. And that can look very different. For me, for example, you know, I wake up in the morning, red light, grab something that's, you know, within kind of the fuel timing of, you know, and work out within 30, 45 minutes, which is normal for me. I'm going to have like maybe a little bit of protein and some more carbohydrate, simple carbohydrate type things to make it so I'm ready for my workout. I go to my workout, I do sauna, I come back, I have breakfast with my wife. By then it's like 8 o'clock, 8:30. And that's when I feel like I'm productive and ready to start my day versus someone that may not be able to do those things in the morning. They may think like, yeah, I need to like go for a walk in the morning, eat my breakfast, start my day, and then I can do this stuff for myself later because I can't necessarily focus on other things knowing there's this day of tasks that needs to take place. And I think everyone's really different with that. It's just deciding what's going to be best for you. And the second part of that we mentioned was having control of the activities that take place throughout the day. And so it's really important to identify where's the wasted time? Like, where is the time where you're not actually being productive or you're not setting yourself up for success? And, you know, if you're in an office job, it usually comes down to like multiple times looking at your calendar, setting aside blocks for email, and just like having things that you have to constantly respond to versus saying like, I'm going to time block out when I respond to emails, I'm going to time block out when I do these certain things, and I'm going to get the actual tasks that I have to get done first. So that way, when I check out at the end of the day, my time is purely my time and it's no longer like you either didn't feel like you got everything you need accomplished or you feel like you have to go do more work, which means you're going to sacrifice your health. You're going to sacrifice, you know, your social life. You're going to sacrifice working out, meal prepping, whatever the thing is that you know is important for you to make progress forward. The next thing that's really important to look at is like, actually, are the things in your life helping you make progress towards whatever goals you have? And I think goals are something that kind of get a bad rap because they think like, oh, well, I'm very goal-driven. I'm very focused on like these things that I have to accomplish throughout the day, but it's not really like that. You know, it's more so making sure that you have a sense of direction and that you have a path that's leading you where you want to go versus like kind of just meandering and letting whatever happen. So if you sit there and you really think, okay, like the things I want to get out of life, I want to be healthy. I want to be around for my kids and my grandkids. And I want to be able to, you know, crawl on the floor with my grandkids when they're, you know, babies and be able to chase after them and go to the park and do all these things with them. Or you have goals just to be able to like look confident in your suit at work, or you want to be able to go on vacation and be on the beach and feel comfortable. Or it may just be you just want to kind of grind and get that next promotion or the next thing in your career. It's like, okay, identify those things and then recognize which of those things are you making progress towards every day. And when you look at the things that you do throughout the day, are the things that you're doing actually making you move in that direction? And that doesn't necessarily mean everything that you do has to be like this really focused task that takes 100% of your time and effort. But it's thinking, okay, like, does this prepare me to do the thing that I need to do well the next day or over the next week or over the next month? And I think we get really short-sighted of that and reactive, like, okay, oh my gosh, today was so stressful, so overwhelming. I feel like there were so many things that just bogged down my brain. I need to go home and I need to like have a drink and lay on the couch and like order a pizza and just allow myself to fully recover and feel better. That's great. Like in the moment, you'll probably feel good. You'll probably like be able to be like, oh, I needed that. Like I was able to de-stress a little bit. But then you're going to wake up the next day. You're going to have a poor night's sleep because you like had alcohol. You had a bunch of carbohydrates. You know, you're body's not going to be really in a state to be able to recover and be prepared. Next thing you know, like your threshold for the day when you were reacting to things by 5 p.m., you were done. The next day, your threshold for that may be like 1 p.m., where it's like, yeah, you only had so much emotional energy ready because you didn't allow yourself to be prepared for it. So when you think of those stressful moments, like, okay, did that alcohol and pizza actually serve me for what I want to accomplish? And the answer is no, because it didn't allow you to be the best that you could be the next day, you know, and doesn't mean you have to be perfect all the time. No, but you absolutely have to set yourself up for that, knowing the next thing. And I think, especially as like an ex-athlete, you know, I'm very confident thinking like the night before, like, okay, what's going to impact me in a positive way tomorrow? But not everyone's built that way. Or, you know, you can have, especially if you're an ex-college athlete, like it's very easy to kind of be like put off from that and not wanting to be a part of that. But it is a good rule to kind of think of, and I guess kind of a general guide for you to think about is like, okay, if I had this awful day, stress was hitting me all the time, I was incredibly overwhelmed and not really feeling my best, what can I do to give myself a reset to be better off the next day? And that may be get home, have a quality meal. You may not want to do any housework or anything like that unless you absolutely have to, but you're going to get in bed early. You're going to, you know, watch a little bit of TV. You're going to relax, unwind, get to bed at a good time, plenty hydrated with a quality meal in you, and you're going to feel better the next day, which means that both you're not going to be as reactive to the things that pop out at you, but you're also going to be better equipped to make it through the entire day with the ability to actually be able to like be at your best and have the emotional energy that you need. And so it's just really important to look at those habits and daily things that you do and really dive into like, are these serving me, making progress towards these goals? The next area, and I think this one is really interesting because everyone's incredibly different with what's actually going to allow them to be making that progress. And so you have to look at those habits and the things that you do on a daily basis and think like, can I be consistent with these and are they sustainable over the long term? So if you are someone who's like, okay, the only time I feel like I have to work out is 5 a.m. and so you wake up at 4 and you go work out at 5 and you're toast by noon and you know, maybe maintain this for a month or 2 months or whatever, like short period of time, but you're just like burnt out throughout the day and it's going to last, you know, it's great for that period, but it's not something you're going to be able to maintain long-term. Now, some people, especially ex-college athletes, like you'll be exhausted, you know, from doing that, but maybe it is the best thing because you probably are someone who's like circadian rhythm wants to wake up at 4 and that just is what it is for you. And that's what's going to work out best. But the reality is for most, that's not going to be the most productive way for you to go about things. And so like, is it something you can be consistent with short term? Yes. Long term? No. Which means it's not going to be sustainable for you to maintain those results down the ways. And so as you think about those things and you think about like the way you're attacking your goals, it can't be in a way that's just going to benefit you in the short term. And so if it feels like 5 a.m. may be the only time for you to prioritize your health, well, maybe some things in your day need to be shifted around. Maybe you can take a lunch break to go work out, or maybe you do it on the weekends, or you just do it, you know, two days during the week and 2 days on the weekend. And that way you have, you know, most of the time during the week to focus on what you need to focus on. But don't think about it in terms of like you have to follow this set plan that sounds like it's the right thing. Like if you always hear like, oh yeah, I need to work on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or whatever routine like you typically hear of, that's not really applying it to your life and your circumstances. And so it's really important to think like, yeah, like that would be ideal, but ideal for me looks like this. And it may be working out Monday, Friday, Saturday, you know, it may be, you know, just shifting things around or doing things at different times, or maybe like, okay, I'm going to hit 2 big lifts on the weekend. And my goal Monday through Friday is to get in 10,000 steps each day. And that's what's best for you. And that's okay. Is it the best case scenario in terms of getting this like amazing result really quickly? Is it something that is consistent and that you can sustain over time? Absolutely. And so when you think about those things that work towards your goals, it's really important to identify that. That's something I noticed that I fell, I guess into a trap with pretty regularly when I was coaching and even as an athlete. It's like, I would think, well, you know, if I'm really going to get an A in this class, then I need to wake up, at 3 a.m. and study for 2 hours before practice, or I need to stay up until 2 a.m. and then, get 3 hours of sleep before I go to practice. Or even as I was coaching, I would start to work out like at 3:30, 3:45 in the morning, because I just didn't feel like there was enough time in the day for me to really prioritize myself. And those things may have helped me be consistent for 4 to 6 weeks at a time, and they never really like stuck with me. And I think that's why I really struggled to prioritize my health and found myself in pretty bad health, was just not knowing the best way to go about it, given how busy I was. When I was coaching, I would work a 12-hour day and I would think, okay, I got really busy. Like, all this stuff popped up. I didn't have time to get my recruiting list organized or go through and like have all my follow-ups for the day or write workouts, whatever it is. And so I started waking up at 3:30, and I gave like an additional 2 hours of my day on top of the 12. So being 15, 16, 17 hours in a day to ultimately someone who like didn't care about me, I guess, organization that he worked for. And that's pretty regular. And so I think it's important to be able to draw that line between like what's a worthy sacrifice to be able to make progress in your career versus something that's not going to be like benefiting you long term, and it's not even benefiting you short term, then it's just not worth it. And so definitely think about those habits and finding a way to be consistent, sustainable with it. I mean, I think I finally figured out actually what worked probably the last year that I was in coaching. And it's funny because it took me probably another year to like reset afterwards and think like, okay, I don't have to be in this constant grind of always doing these things, but I still have to work hard, and kind of knowing that barometer of what works versus what's going to be consistent, sustainable long-term. The next thing is, that's really important for you to identify as far as whether or not your habits are productive for you, or even if the relationships in your life are productive for you, is how are they impacting your sleep? Sleep is, if you think about it, it's the one thing that we all have to do that decides what we're going to be like throughout the day and how we actually recover from the day before and be prepared for the day ahead. So if you think about the things that we do, and it can be alcohol, it can be food, it can be just wasting time in the evening, so you're getting less sleep. Like, look at it and say, like, is this something that allows me to get better sleep? Because if it's something that allows you to get better sleep, then it's going to help with everything else. You're going to be more consistent, and it's going to be more sustainable long-term, whatever you're doing. It's going to help you make progress towards any goal that you have. It's absolutely going to benefit your physical and mental well-being. So everything should be able to theoretically impact your sleep in a positive way. And, not saying necessarily everything has to be perfect for that, but if you're doing consistent things that regularly will mess up your quality of sleep, say, for example, you're someone that's in sales and the referral part of sales is really important to you, and so you spend a lot of time at networking events or friends and all these things, and like you have 2, 3, 4, 5 drinks every time you're with them, you're going to have poor sleep, which means you're not going to show up like as well for the next networking event. You're not going to show up for like the actual work that you have to do. And it's like, okay, well, that habit itself probably isn't serving me in a great way. And so being able to like reframe and reshift that a little bit to kind of set things up in a way where it's like, okay, this may be what I feel like I have to do, but is there a way to do it that's actually going to allow me to get more sleep? The last one, I think, kind of encapsulates all of these into one thing. And it's, what do these habits do as far as a long-term impact on your health? And are they serving you in a positive way? And same thing, again, goes for relationships. And I think, there are a lot of correlations you can draw between habits and relationships, because they're all things that are going to impact every single one of these categories. And so it really helps you identify whether or not they're, things that should be a part of your life. And I'm incredibly fortunate to be surrounded by like a family and my wife. I have to, feel like I'm making progress towards my goals. And, knowing that I want to be consistent and have a sustainable approach to whatever I'm doing, that like they feed into that and they know like sleep's a big priority for me and I'm going to prioritize sleep because it's something I didn't prioritize for a long time and I wasn't making the progress towards my goals that I wanted to. So you can draw those parallels like when you're going through things and you're thinking like, are these habits beneficial for me? But you're also in the same conversation like, are these relationships, are these friends beneficial for me? Like those are pretty easy things to be able to look at and identify. And now when it comes to relationships, like you're not just going to suddenly cut out everyone, but there's, certain things that you can do that, allow you to kind of like compartmentalize, say like, hey, this is for me. I have to prioritize me first so that way I can be there for the relationship. Because it doesn't necessarily mean with relationships that you have to like cut it out as a whole if it's not good, but it's restructuring and drawing boundaries there. And also being willing to say no, I think is really important in every area because a little bit of something's not bad, but a lot of something can not be good. If there's that person that you always really enjoy, getting a beer with and playing darts with or something, and it's like that's just like what you guys have done for, however long, it's like great, do that. But do you need to do that every week? Like probably not. There's other ways and other things that you can do together that are going to be healthier for you and allow you to be a little bit more, I guess, on track towards progressing towards those goals. Overall, I think it's really easy to be able to sit back and say, like, these are the things that are really important to focus on with habits and relationships, but knowing that not everything fits into that, like, black or white, good or bad. But if we just make a little bit of a shift towards the direction that we need to be going in, like you'd be really surprised how quickly you can actually progress. And I think that's an area, especially when we are working with clients specifically, that they're shocked, right? Like we talk to them and we're making these changes, and we're not coming in saying like, hey, follow this like crazy big plan. We're like, hey, like make these couple tweaks and then let's just be consistent with this long enough. And then they're 2, 3, 4 weeks in, like, oh, I'm down 10, 15, 20 pounds. And it just like felt like it fell off. Like, this is magic. And it's like, it's not magic. You just chose to let these small changes be consistent over time. And you actually made the progress that you wanted to make. So just, I guess, always think about identifying those things. And that's something I'm constantly doing. And I notice myself falling into, right? Like, especially on a weekend. If we're out and we go to Whole Foods and we're gonna buy a bag of chips, like it's easier to buy another bag of chips later on and then it becomes a regular thing. And next thing you know, you're further away from that goal. Just always kind of trying to like bring yourself a little more in check and having that conversation with yourself, like, am I doing the right things to make progress or am I kind of drawing myself out of that into a world of like inconsistency? And not setting yourself for your long-term health. I think we truly appreciate your support in helping us grow our podcast. So if you can leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, it only takes 5 seconds. It makes a world of a difference for us. Your feedback not only encourages us to keep producing great content, but also helps others discover our show. And if you've got a friend, family member, or colleague who you feel likely would benefit from listening to our podcast, please consider sharing it with them. Word of mouth is incredibly powerful, and your recommendation means the world for us.